Welcome to the fourth preseason Supercoach Coach podcast for season 2021. I'm Marcus and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey. Welcome back, mate.
G'day, mate. Glad to be back. Excited to have made episode 4. Footy's back this week. Seemed to have made some improvements on my team in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, looking forward to lockout at the moment.
Before we get into the show this week where we'll tackle the forwards, let's just do a quick plug. Patreon.com/supercoachcoach if you're looking for some bonus content. Last week, we recorded a 26-minute bonus episode. So if you want to get involved in listening to some high-level strategy, getting into more of the nitty-gritty that we didn't have time to on the main show, jump on board. There's now 3 bonus episodes. There'll be a 4th after this one. And we make sure we set aside some time to answer those Patreon questions. Thank you to all the new subscribers over the last week and to any of our new watchers slash listeners now on YouTube. Hit like and subscribe. Got some nice comments slash feedback, and our show stylings have modified a little bit now we can see each other face to face. So it's like the Joe Rogan experience. It's brand new and awesome. Excited to be here for yet another week.
We won't be recording 3-hour shows though.
No. Yes, we've got a special joiner. If you're watching via YouTube,
say go Bombers into the
microphone. Go Bombers.
So these are the prime reasons for joining on YouTube. Great cameo appearances. We're recording this during the day. And as James, great to have our special guests on. They're future stars of the show, no doubt. It's all happening this week. So, Patreon plug aside, supercoachcoach.com.au if you want to get involved in our community. We've got a forum. There should be links on both the YouTube video description and on the podcast page in terms of how you get involved in our Supercoach group and our Supercoach leagues. And our patrons, of course, will be giving a shout out to our top running patrons throughout the season, because the winner of our Supercoach Coach group will walk away with $200 cold hard cash at the end of the season for smashing the rest of us in the community. Neither Mark and I have been great enough to get that glory. Not that we're eligible for the prize, but hopefully this year we can take the chockies
if even you were,
take the dollars.
If you're giving away Bitcoin, I might try a bit harder.
To the moon! Dogecoin. That's where it's at, isn't it? All right. I'm sure people didn't come here for crypto investing, although that would be more like maybe the Joe Rogan experience. We'll have a chat about forwards now. We talked about Martin Dangerfield and Joey Danaher in the first show as the 3 most highly picked selections when we recorded the first show back a few weeks ago, and they continue to be the top 3 forwards. Let's go down to the next rung of player. I don't think a heap has changed in that patch except for Dangerfield playing in the scratch match. He played half a game, so probably firms a little bit more ahead of Martin. But again, we'll cover that in more detail in the recap episode after we potentially see him in one more game against Essendon this coming weekend. The next guy we're going to talk about for the forwards, though, is certainly very tempting from a price point of view. Has been available in the forward line for a few seasons now. I think he had one particularly good season, was Jack Zabel, $257,900. This year, though, he's finding himself playing in the back line as a halfback. Wouldn't really have guessed that for Jack Zabel, but 30.5% of teams is reflective of the value proposition that he offers at that price point. I have some question marks, though, about how he'll go as a defender. Will be certainly interesting. I think on the Patreon show, I was mentioning that maybe they'll use him for torpedoes out of the back line. Certainly got a big boot, but not particularly well known for his finesse, I don't think, Jack Zabel, or his speed. So an interesting halfback addition. What do you reckon about Jack Zabel, Mark, and how he'll go down back and how he'll go in our Supercoach teams as a value mid-pricer?
Yeah, I guess it's a bit tricky. He's 30 years old, and I remember picking him as a rookie. It just shows how long we've been doing this show, mate. He is insanely priced at 257. Last year was the first time he's averaged under 80 since 2011, and he's a very good player for 257. Has been a premium before. I think that's just enough. In a year where the rookies are maybe a little bit uncertain, I love that price point. It'd be better if he was 20K cheaper, but under 300,000 for a former pretty close to premium. I'm happy to just pick him and see how the role works out.
Yeah, agree with that. I think in looking for value, we've not discussed a heap of sub 300 mid prices in the midfield or the back line that would have us too tempted. And in the forward line, he's one of a few that's highly selected. And I think him and Joey Danaher are probably two of the standouts at this stage. I agree with that. And I think in the Patreon show, Mark, you reflected on the fact that the back line will see plenty of action for North Melbourne this year. I think they got trounced in their practice match as well. That's just happened. But yeah, it should be plenty of opportunities. He's a big, tall guy, Zeeble. They moved him up forward because he's very dangerous marking presence. And so you would think intercept marks will be generating some points for Zeeble.
And he's just so hard at it. Like, I think you wouldn't really want to take him one-on-one. Yeah, I think he should score fine back there.
All right, next player, we're going to talk about Josh Dunkley, 560,000 in 28.6% of teams, the third most highly selected premium outside of Martin and Dangerfield. And you would assume probably one of the favorites to end up in that top three position along with those two by the end of the year. Now, we talked about drawing a line through all of the Bulldogs midfielders because of the congestion. Now, Dunkley arguably has even more concern around his role security, having requested a trade out of there because of that reason, than all the other guys that we're drawing a line through, McRae, Bontempelli, Treloar. With Dunkley available as a forward, funnily enough, he's probably the guy that you'd most consider to actually make your side, but just because of that upside potential in the forward line. So a tough one to reconcile. Tempted, but at the same time, a bit put off. How do you land on that?
I think everything he said is pretty right there, mate. The thing about Dunkley is he can go so big, so he can have those like 130-plus games, he can have 150-plus games, and it is possible that you miss out on one of those early on in the season. With the uncertainty about his role, and his role has hugely affected scoring in the past, with that uncertainty and given the fact that he's 560, so you're not getting a massive discount on him, that's enough for me to just give him a wait and see. Is there a good chance he comes into my team if he's looking good? Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of his game and his potential scoring in Supercoach, so I'd love to have him in my team, but just that depth in the Bulldogs midfield and the fact that it's going to be hard for him to have a consistently huge role for that team every single week, that's enough for me to not really consider him that strongly.
We're going to be filled up with mid-prices in the forward line, right, Mark? No space for these guys.
Yeah, I think I end up with two or three premiums.
I thought you'd join me on the mid-price hype train.
I am on the mid-price hype train, but still end up with two or three premiums.
Okay, not extreme enough. Herald Sun, Tim, he released his crazy team. I don't know if he'll actually go in with it, but showed a team where you start Jack Zeeble at F1. And there's certainly enough candidates. We're going to go through some more of them. That's probably a step too far. I think it was for illustrative purposes, but I can understand the temptation. Yeah, I think he tucked Dunkley in the midfield to take some even more mid-price forward risk. And I think we've already mentioned in this show, that's certainly where a lot of the value is this year. So it's not the craziest idea compared to the normal seasons, but yeah, a lot to consider. All right, we'll go on to more cheap guys. Paddy Dow, 202,000, third-year midfielder, available as a mid-forward, so that DPP flexibility is nice, in 24.1% of teams. Now, Paddy, when he has played so far, hasn't been a particularly amazing Supercoach scorer, yes, but Carlton have lost quite a few games, and there's a young midfielder still finding his way. You wouldn't expect most players to be smashing out a huge amount of points. So you can give him a pass a little bit. Plus, some guys just take a little bit of time to bulk up, to be able to have an influence in the midfield. Dow was certainly one of the highest ranked midfielders in his draft class when picked. He's a fourth year. So right up there in consideration for me is basically an expensive rookie. You've got Ugle Hagen, who's at 207,000, Riley Philthorpe at 203. Dow almost seems obvious at a similar price point, no?
Yeah, I think he is. I actually forgot how fun it is to watch you completely butcher players' names. I think everything you're reading out of Carlton, he's going to have a bigger role this year. He's more prepared for this season. 203,000. I think that if he's named around one, I think he's a really easy selection.
So we're going to have Sam Doherty, Zach Williams, Patrick Cripps, Sam Walsh, Paddy Dow. Just going to be filled with Carlton players this year, Mark. They better do well. All right, next guy, Jarman Impey, 213,000.
But I'll be barracking for him.
How about Impey? Will you be barracking for Impey, Mark? 20.3% of teams coming off an injury, but has never really scored particularly well.
Did we discuss him in a main show? Was it a Patreon show? Because I think we did him pretty extensively the other day, and I think that was
Patreon.
Fairly accurate. And okay, so in the Patreon show, we did talk about him, and just is he going to score enough is the problem. I guess maybe he'll score really similar to Paddy Dow, and so from that perspective, maybe he's a good selection. I guess you have all of these guys, or maybe you can if you go with that team that you were describing before. Impey is at some chance of making my team, but he hasn't been in my teams for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I am much more fan of Dow than Impey because of the upside he shows as hopefully a future star midfielder taking the next step. Impey is a guy that I think you're almost resigned to averaging 70 thereabouts based on his prior scoring history. Maybe 75 might be the upside, but Hawthorn aren't going to win a heap of games, you wouldn't think, this year, so he won't just get free ball. It's harder to score out of the back line when the defense is under a heap of pressure and you aren't able to necessarily connect the same amount of kicks up the field. And importantly, people just need to have a little bit of a reminder around expectations of scoring for expensive rookies, essentially, which is what he's priced at. And I think 70 isn't really a pass mark that we would really be looking for, because for most rookies, you would generally be looking for 60 as a basement if you could. And sometimes you're forced to lower because there's not any options. But ideally, you want a rookie that's probably averaging 60, because that means that 250K is clearable. And that means that you can net minimum 130K from that sort of player. So if you're looking at 120-130K rookie and them scoring 60 as a pass mark, then paying 80K for another 10 points of scoring doesn't actually equate really well, because if a guy's starting out at 212K, he may only get to 300 if he's averaging 65 to 70, which is very much in Impey's scoring range. Like, what do you get? 80K from a player like that? You need to remember the cost-benefit equation when picking players like these and make sure that you give them enough clearance to warrant bringing into your team. It's not just about job security, especially in a position where we're a bit more flush for mid-priced options. And I think in terms of the forward line, that may deliver a few more rookies than potentially the back line this year as well. So that's another thing to think about in terms of leaving some spots for some rookie positions up forward as well. Anything to add on that, Mark?
I'm not totally convinced by that. Listening to you, I was almost looking more likely to pick Impey, just because this year I think a lot of these first-year rookies probably aren't going to play every game, not having a lot of games last year for a lot of them, especially the ones that came from Victoria, obviously. And Impey has shown that he can score 80, 90 to 100 over a period of time, and if he does that early, you'll be happy with that. So these mature-age guys that are going to play every week may be coming at a bit more of a premium this year, and therefore, yeah, I think that he's probably going to be a decent pick without being like a season-changing pick.
So you'd pick him more based on structure then, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it depends on how many rookies show up.
All right. That ended up being more confusing, so thanks. Let's move on to steel side bottom. Hopefully this one's less confusing. Forward mid, 588,000 in 19.6% of teams. He had a really good season last year, did steal, and that's probably the main concern with Sidebottom, is that you're potentially paying closer to his top end than what he may necessarily achieve this year. Again, another sort of reflection of that 16-minute quarter season. And if you look at him and his scoring history, he seems almost a shoe-in for a top six forward by the end of the year. But hard to see Sidebottom coming in ahead of Dunkley, Martin and Dangerfield. So personally, not necessarily in my considerations, especially considering his age. I think he's more likely to tail off than improve at this stage of his career. Probably same comment to Collingwood in general this season after the talent they've lost. I don't necessarily see them winning more of the pie in 2021 than 2020. Have you been tempted at all by Sidebottom, Mark?
Probably not as a starter, and that's just because of his current price. I don't think that there's much value there, but will he be a player that I'll be looking at bringing in over the course of the season? Probably. And it's good the fact that we get to see what his role is going to be like this year at the Pies with no Treloar there and how their midfield sets up and what, whether he's on the wing or playing more on the ball and coming off a close to season best season as far as scoring. Obviously, only played 9 games last year. You can just wait and see with a player like that. There's really, with your Supercoach starting team, you want to either pick like the best player on their line or players that are going to have some value and potential to go up.
All right, next player, Isaac Heaney, is a guy that certainly has potential to go up. He was a favorite year in, year out for a while, and a combination of injury history and being forced to play out of the forward line instead of the midfield has certainly pushed him out of that favoritism over time. And unfortunately, that's the case in my team. I'd love to cheer for Heaney, but it's hard to see me bringing him in at that price tag and not worry about being burnt yet again. 18.6% of teams, certainly reflective of his quality though, and really you'd expect this guy to be a premium again soon enough, and potentially it's even this year. It just comes with some risk and some injury risk too. Has he made any of your draft teams at all, Mark?
Yeah, he has quite a few, not in the current team, but definitely is very high in selection potential. And it's like what I was just saying about Sidebottom, but the opposite side of that. He's not coming off a best ever season. He comes at a bit of a discount, and therefore it's pretty hard for him to burn you, given his talent. Unless he gets injured really early in a game, I don't really see that many circumstances where you do get burnt with Heaney. He's had 4 years in a row averaging 94 to 98 in that sort of range. I don't really see him going backwards on that. My impression is that he's probably not going to get that midfield time that we hoped that he would, and that he's probably going to play more forward. That could change throughout the year, though, with how Sydney's forward line structures up and whether Buddy comes back, things like that. I do think that at his price, there's a fair bit of value there, an elite talent, someone that's fun to watch, and could post a 105 average playing as a forward mainly. And yeah, I think that there's some value there, and he definitely is in consideration for me. I have been burnt from him before. I'd love to see him play mainly as a midfielder. I think he would just obliterate scoring. I think he'd be awesome at that. Yes, he's in consideration for sure.
I think a big preseason game will certainly bolt him into contention. Wouldn't be surprised to see his percentage ownership stats go up when people get reminded of that upside. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Jai Caldwell is next, another mid-pricer, this time a little bit more expensive, true mid-pricer, 348,600, forward mid again, one in a very interesting price bracket in 16.3% of teams. Exposed form is limited. You're picking him on potential. Essendon supporter, you'd be following how he's gone over the preseason. What do you think, Mark?
Could turn out to be a really good pick. He's brought to the club, obviously been promised some midfield time. He wants to play as an inside midfielder, and he has been doing that in the preseason at the Bombers and did that against Carlton in the first warm-up game. There was a couple of the top-line Essendon midfielders not in that side, though. We've got Parrish and Langford still crying out for some more midfield time. So there is a bit of competition for spots in there, and both those guys are improving a fair bit. I do not like the 348K price tag at all. Like, he has to be a premium in that price. In his third season, is he ready to be pushing 100 as an average or 95 plus. I hope so as a Bombers supporter, but I think that's probably a bit of a stretch. Yeah, 250 to 270, I'd consider him. At 350, he's not in consideration for me at all.
Yeah, I'd prefer to pay the 100K more and go to Heaney, or save the 100K and even go to Impey versus Caldwell, even though I'm not the biggest fan of that Impey selection. Now, we're not going to talk about Ugelhagen and Riley yet because they are rookies, even though they're more expensive. We'll hold them off for now and cover them in the rookies and recap episode. Instead, we'll skip past Orazio as well because we covered him in the backline show, and to Tom Phillips, the last guy in above 10% of teams available as a forward. Now, moved across to Hawthorn from Collingwood, part of that salary cap cull. Phillips has averaged 100-plus for an extended period before. He was never able to keep it up for the entirety of the season. But once he got moved out of position at Collingwood, did struggle to score a little bit. You'd think that's less of a concern. There's a spot there that Isaac Smith has literally just vacated that you think he strolls right into. He's at the age where he should really be coming into his prime. Great runner. Compared to Heaney, it's a pretty interesting sort of a comparator. How would you rate between the two, Mark? Tom Phillips versus Heaney at that 400K sort of price range?
Maybe it's a bias, and maybe it's not the best bias that I have, is that I want a player that I think is an elite talent and that I really enjoy watching. And Heaney just obliterates Phillips in that head-to-head contest. Phillips seems really good at racking the ball up in Supercoach, but don't necessarily rate him super high as a player. So I think at that price, I'd rather go just for a fully fledged premium or one of these mid-prices. I think that there's enough uncertainty about how his scoring will be at Hawthorn to not pick him. With that said, I think if you're really sure and it could turn out to be a good pick, he could definitely have a period, like you said, like where he averages 100 for a stretch. I don't have faith that he can do it for a whole season and average over 100. Yeah, for me, it's not in consideration at all.
Yeah, I think if Hawthorn were top four side, I might change my tune a little bit, but the wing position in a potentially bottom four team isn't actually always very lucrative. The best wingers, even a gaff type, can struggle to manage a good average even when they're in a winning team. So that's certainly something else to think about. Available in the forward line is the only reason why he might still sketch in, but the risk-reward ratio is probably not quite there considering his upside is only 100. Even if he could threaten 105, 110, you might consider him a little bit more. But the fact that from a skills point of view, you're probably right on that versus Heaney, who's averaged, 97 in his third and fourth seasons, then 94. Like his bottom side certainly higher and his upside certainly untapped. Yeah, agree with that assessment. Especially when you consider you've got Sidebottom, Dunkley, Dangerfield, Martin in the forward line this year. Rowan Marshall comes back for injury at some stage. That's five. We haven't got to Zorko or Walters yet, who have both averaged 105 plus before. Doesn't really leave a lot of space for somebody who's not an ultra premium in the forward line. And similar to the back line, actually, the scoring rate has probably increased in the forward line as well. So something to keep in mind, especially if you're looking toward mid-prices like Jai Caldwell. I think where 90, 95 may have been passable for your D6, F6 in the past, you would, in an ideal world, probably chase for a little bit higher in 2021. All right, maybe the last couple of players that we'll just throw in there. We'll skip past Jeremy Cameron and Connor Rosie, leave them for our Patreon bonus show. Maybe just have a quick chat on a couple of more mid-forwards before we sign off. So Dane Zorko, forward mid this year, 525,800. And Michael Walters, forward mid, 531,100, 8.1 and 6.5% of teams. Like I mentioned previously, you'd think these two would threaten for the top six in 2021 again. Any reasonable argument to push them ahead of any of the other top line premiums we've discussed so far? Can't really remember the last time we had Dane Zorko available in the forward line, maybe in his debut season.
I think we've had maybe since then. I remember there was that year where he played with a stomach bug and he got 17 or 7 in a game or something, and a lot of people brought him in that week. That was probably only 3 or 4 years ago or something. I think Zorko is definitely a player that's in consideration for me. He has averaged 109 plus a couple of occasions, like 105 plus 3 occasions. Had a bit of a down year last year, suffering with a bit of injury. He's playing in a Lions side that is improving, and Zorko should be playing right through the guts in that team, so there should be plenty of opportunity for scoring. I guess it's a bit tricky having Neil and Zorko potentially with probably the two best midfielders from the same team, but looking at the Lions side, there's a good chance they are top 4 again this year. You'd think that they probably should do that. I'd be disappointed if they didn't. And Zorko just has those potential for those really huge games where he gets a couple of goals and a heap of possessions and just scores 150, 160, which he did twice last year in a season where he only averaged 95 or 97. Yeah, I think that Zorko at 520 available as a forward, he potentially could be a 115 averaging midfielder or a 110 to 115 averaging midfielder, and available as a forward, that puts him in the absolute top echelon. And I actually probably have him at least on level pegging with Dustin Martin, given Dusty's output for the last few years. Yeah, I think that Zorko should be in everyone's consideration realistically.
32 years of age. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it is a bit of a problem. With that said, he did start a bit later, which I think we've seen in the past probably adds that little bit of extra to longevity of their careers because they weren't getting whacked around as 19-year-olds in the AFL. Yeah, I think that 32 years old is a bit of a concern, but he does seem like the player that this isn't his last season. He's got a few more seasons left, and he's still going to be really impacting games this year.
Only call out with Zorko on top of what you've mentioned is that even though he's pumped out some really big averages and he's done it now on multiple occasions, he has still relied on a few big games to really boost his average up throughout that patch. So I guess not necessarily a bad point in his name, but certainly a guy that can have a little bit more variance. So even in his years where he averaged 110, for example, I think 2017, he had a 68, a 51, 55, 78, punctuated by 196, 142, 143 to go alongside it. Potentially what that means is you might want to pick him from the start, because if he has a big one at the start, that may be going a long way to contribute to a high average. But the flip side to that is also that probably will offer himself up at value over the course of the season. So it's also something to consider that he may be available cheaper at some stage as well.
Yeah, I think there's some validity to that. I guess that because he averaged only 97 last year, he's available for 528. You're already getting some of that downside discount.
Yeah, look, I think I have him ahead of Dunkley and Sidebottom. So that means he's right up there with Martin and Dangerfield, really. Michael Walters, no comment. Injury prone.
Yeah, and he's like the cream now at Fremantle. I think that they rely on him a little bit less with their evolving midfield. And potentially that means he's in for a super season, right? Like, he's going to have some class around him, and Freo should be better this year. So they should continue that upward trajectory, and he may benefit a lot from that. But age, injury prone, no, he's not someone that I've had in my team a lot, but I know a lot of people really like him and have benefited from his scoring in the past. Yeah. What do you think? Is he in your team?
No. I think, if anything, what you've just said makes me think that they rely on him a little bit less, than he's even more likely to move into the forward line than in previous seasons. And he basically was completely reliant on making sure he got a bit of midfield time to ensure a certain level of consistency. His upside's always been there. He's a guy that can punch out 140s, 150s with relative ease considering his total scoring history. But you need him getting a decent midfield rotation. So Chiera, Brayshaw, they're even pushing Nat Fyfe potentially a bit out of the midfield. Where does that leave Michael Walters? Do you play Fyfe in the forward line if you're playing Walters in the midfield? Like, that probably doesn't check out entirely to me. Yeah, I'd be a bit concerned about that. All right, that wraps up our forward line show. I think that from an optionality point of view, compared to the midfield and the back line, we're likely to see a little bit more conformity in terms of people looking for mid-price value and landing on a few common players. And then you might get some variation in terms of the top-end premiums and who you like the most and where you want to take the risk. But this is likely a position where, you know, Z-Ball, Danaher, Impey, Dow types help you save a little bit of money to spend elsewhere around the ground. Probably one of our quicker episodes for the first few shows, and I think reflective on a general consensus around some of that team shape. Anything final to add from you, Mark?
No, I think that's a fair assessment, mate. I think I'm looking at probably 4 or 5 premiums in defense and probably a maximum of 2 up forward with the rookies and the mid prices available down there. So, yeah, like you said, those players might be different, but I mean, you've Danger, Zeebel, maybe Danaher. You've got the 3 or 4 players that are going to be very similar across teams, plus the rookies will be the similar as well. So, yep, agree with that.
Alrighty. Patreon.com/supercoachcoach is where we'll be jumping onto next to record some bonus material. We haven't covered all of the tempting options. Jeremy Cameron has moved clubs. Connor Rosie averaged a brilliant amount some part of last season. Toby Green has previously averaged premium numbers before. Cam Rayner is a guy who's pretty highly touted and eventually he's got a breakout. So a few guys to talk about and a few Patreon questions to answer as well. We'll be coming back to your ears post some football that we'll finally be getting to watch. Another show after that, and then we'll see how we go with timing into the finish, Mark. But certainly we'll be very excited to finally have a look at some games, our one and only televised games for this preseason, which will be interesting. And with that, we'll sign off for the week again. See ya. Let's get crazy.